For the last couple of weeks, we've been going through the Christmas story as it's recorded by Luke in Luke chapter 2. And by the way, when I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that there was a world-renowned archaeologist who investigated the writings of Luke. He was a skeptic, and he firmly believed that much was that Luke wrote was not actually written by him, but somebody in later centuries. And so he went to Palestine and investigated the writings of Luke. And he, as a result, came to the conclusion that Luke was one of the greatest historians who ever lived. And I said that the name of that archaeologist was William Holt, and that was wrong. It's William Ramsey was the archaeologist. And so I apologize for that mistake. I was speaking off the top of my head, and William Ramsey is the correct name. If you Google him, you'll see that he was actually knighted by the Queen because he was the leading archaeologist in the world. So his official title is Sir William Ramsey. This morning we're going to follow the shepherds as they search for the Christ child. And I'd like to suggest to you that even today, shepherds are looking for Jesus. In fact, I'm going to be so bold as to suggest that everyone, no matter their vocation, no matter their location, are looking for Jesus. Now, you might not agree with that statement. You might be thinking of friends, relatives, neighbors, and people at work who show no interest in God. But consider this. Everyone is searching for love and acceptance. Everyone is searching for self-worth, purpose, and peace. Everyone wants their needs met. Everyone is looking for a better future. All of those things only come from God. Most people are looking for love and acceptance in all the wrong places. Everyone is looking for God. They just don't know it. Only God completely loves us. And only He has proved His love by sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Only God truly accepts people. He views us as His creation, His work of art, yes, His masterpiece. If you're feeling down today, I want to say this to you. You are God's masterpiece. But He's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with any of us yet. In God's eyes, no one is ugly, no one is inferior, and every person has value because they are His creation. And God has a plan and a purpose for every person on earth. God creates every person, every animal, every bug, every blade of grass for a purpose. And think about this. Only God can completely forgive and cleanse a soul. Only God can give that deep, abiding peace that we all long for. Only God can meet our spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. Only God can prepare us for a future in heaven. And only Jesus can bring us to God. The Lord Jesus said this, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." All of these things that we long for can only be realized in a relationship with God, made known through His Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. So all people, no matter who they are, no matter where they live, no matter their social status, no matter their religion, are in reality searching for Jesus. He is the true and the living God. He has visited us in the flesh, and that is what Christmas is all about. That's why we celebrate. So to review, I'd like for you to turn to your Bibles, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read the beginning of the chapter. We talked about the beginning of the chapter in the previous 2 weeks, but I'd like for us to review it. So please open up to Luke chapter 2, and if you don't have a Bible, you can grab the Bible in the rack in front of you, and you'll find it on page 919. Page 919. So I'm going to read these opening verses and just make a few comments. So Luke chapter 2, verse 1, just follow along as I read. It says, "Now in those days," refers to the days when John the Baptist was born. In the days when John the Baptist was born, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of King David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, in other words, while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, or a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. Then verse 8 says, in the same region, in other words, in the same region of Bethlehem, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David," that would be Bethlehem, "there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger," a feeding trough. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Now, we covered all of those verses in the past 2 weeks. This morning we're going to look at this next section, starting with verse 15. "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them." Now, just as a quick review, Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem. The baby was born in Bethlehem. After the baby was born, an angel appeared to these shepherds, told them that the Savior had been born. They announced the birth of the Savior. But now, the angels went away. In verse 15, it says that the angels had gone away from them. So now the shepherds are left in the dark. They're sitting out in the field in the dark. They were left in the dark physically. They were also left in the dark spiritually. They were unaware of what was going on. They had just heard that a Savior had been born, but they didn't know where he was. They'd been given a few hints. He was in Bethlehem. He was in a feeding trough. But they didn't really know who he was. They didn't know what he was like. They didn't know what he would do. They didn't know how he would save them. I'm mentioning these things because there may be a few of you here today who are in the dark. You've heard that there is a God. You've heard the name of Jesus mentioned. But you don't really know who he is or why he came. What I want you to notice is that these shepherds who were in the dark didn't stay in the dark. And I want to tell you this morning that if you feel like you're in the dark regarding the things of God, you don't have to stay in the dark. You can go to the light. You can go to Jesus, who is the light of the world. First of all, I want you to notice that the shepherds spoke to one another. It would be interesting to know the whole story, and someday we'll know it. Like, what did they first say to one another? It might have been something like this. Did you see what I just saw? Did you hear that angel? Did you hear what he said? Yes. Somebody else, one of the other shepherds, yeah, he said a Savior's been born, who is Messiah, the Lord. That's the one we've been waiting for. And another one said, yeah, I heard that. I saw that. You guys all heard it, right? You know, they're just kind of checking their sanity here for a few moments. Just to checking to see if it was real. All the guys were chiming in. Yes, I heard it. I saw it. The angel. He was awesome. He says a Savior has been born. And then one of them said, in verse 15, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And you had to know that these shepherds felt really privileged to experience this visit from heaven. Let's go to Bethlehem. In other words, they said, let's go check it out. Now, I want to suggest to you that that was a brilliant idea. They could have just, you know, sat there. They could have said something like this. Well, a Savior's been born. So, what did you bring for snacks tonight, Fred? You know, really, some people are like that. You know, they could have just sloughed it off and moved on. But they didn't. Of course they wouldn't. This was a dramatic, electrifying experience. This was big. This came from God. God spoke to them. You can't ignore that. Like I said last week, when God speaks, whether it's through creation or whether it's through an angel or whether it's through the Scriptures, that's a big deal. We need to pay attention. We need to check it out. Many people hear about God but don't check it out. Many read or hear the Scriptures but don't really take it to heart. These shepherds heard the Word of God and took action. That's what we should do. Whenever we read or hear the Word of God, we should take some kind of action. We should not be daydreaming or indifferent to the Word of God. I confess, I read the Scriptures every day, okay, and on a few occasions, I might miss a day, but because, you know, things get crazy in your schedule, or because I overslept. But for the most part, I read the Scriptures every day. And I highly recommend that, no matter who you are. But I confess that there are times when I daydream, when I read the Scriptures. And when I catch myself, I say, oh, forgive me, Lord, I'm not paying attention. I'm daydreaming. Help me to pay attention. Stay connected. This is important. God is speaking through His Word, the Scriptures. And look at verse 16. I love that phrase. It says, they came in a hurry. We should all hurry to Jesus. There should be an eagerness in our soul to meet with Him. An eagerness to get to know Him. And those of you who have known Him for many years, there should be an eagerness to know Him better than you know Him now. An eagerness to hear from Him. That's why we make available these little booklets, the Daily Bread. They're out by the front door. You know, they're a little devotional booklet that we make available for free to help you get to Jesus every day. In the booklet, there's a passage of Scripture for every day of the week with some helpful words to help you apply what God has said in His Word. So we should hurry to Jesus each day. I hurry to be with Jesus to begin my day. I hurry to Jesus when there are concerns on my heart. I hurry to Jesus to write my sermons. Because I know I don't have anything to say to you. But I know that God has a lot to say to all of us. We should hurry to Jesus when we have decisions to make or problems to solve. We should hurry to Jesus for His help and guidance. God never intended us to slug it out on our own on this earth. He created us to know Him and to have fellowship with Him. And so it says in verse 16 that they found their way to Mary, Joseph, and the baby. And I can tell you that that wasn't easy. They had to take a hike. They had to cross the fields and make their way in the night to Bethlehem. They didn't have an address. They had to hunt for Him. It was like a divine scavenger hunt. So I'll tell you a story. I have a horse story. Some of you know, some of you don't know, but I have a horse. Okay, I just got him about a year ago. You know, I've always wanted a horse all my life. Finally, the kids are gone. They're out of college. I figured if it's ever going to happen, you know, now's the time. So I have a horse. So one day, I was riding through the forest. I came out of the forest and I came over by the tennis courts, and my horse, he just loves that green grass by the tennis courts. So I let him, you know, have some of that green grass, let him graze for a little while. And while I was standing there with my horse, across the street there were a group of people coming, and it was mainly women who looked like mothers and their kids. And somebody says, "Look, there's a horse." And so they cross over the street. And they say, "Hey, can we pet your horse?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, fine." You know, he loves attention. And then, so I found out that this group of people, these mothers and kids, they were on a scavenger hunt. And guess what? Horse was on their list. And so was a cow. But I told them, you know, I didn't think that was going to happen. You'd have to get in your car and drive a while before you're going to find a cow. So anyway, they were excited. They found what they were looking for, at least one of the things that they were looking for. And so here's these shepherds. The shepherds were on a divine scavenger hunt. They knew three things. The baby was in Bethlehem, wrapped in strips of cloth, and lying in a feeding trough. That fact, lying in a feeding trough, that was a key. Feeding troughs or mangers are only in places where animals are kept. Last week I mentioned that Joseph and Mary must have been very disappointed that they couldn't find a room in the inn. All the inns were full. And you know, Mary and Joseph, they were very godly people. I'm sure they probably prayed, "Oh God, please, please give us a room in an inn." But God said no. God purposely filled all the inns in town that night. That was a part of His plan. But God provided. He provided a place with the animals. That's not what they wanted, but that's what God gave them. I'm sure Joseph and Mary were disappointed, but I'm also sure that they were grateful that they had shelter. As I mentioned last week, it most likely was a cave where animals were kept. You can go to Bethlehem today, and there are these limestone caves around the town. And if you go to the Church of the Nativity, they built a church over this cave, and they'll show you this cave where Jesus was born. But you know, if Mary and Joseph had a room in the inn, the shepherds could not have been able to find Joseph and Mary. They wouldn't even have been able to get to Joseph and Mary and Jesus. You know why? Well, I mentioned this last week, because shepherds were outcasts. There is no way an innkeeper would allow a bunch of dirty, smelly shepherds into his inn. But shepherds would have no problem going to a place where animals are kept. Often, God's plans are much better than our desires. And when God says no to our requests, He has a good reason. A good reason that usually we don't know about. But perhaps we'll find out later. God had a plan that Joseph and Mary didn't know about. God was sending shepherds with a special message that would encourage the heart of Mary. God knew that encouraging her heart was more important than having a room in the inn. And so God chose a place for this birth that would be accessible to shepherds. So the shepherds were wandering around the town of Bethlehem, checking out all the barns or the places where animals are kept. And you know what? They probably knew where all the caves were. They probably knew where all the places were that animals were kept. These were animal people. And it probably wasn't too hard to find. They just had to look for a place where there was a party going on. Now you see, during the time of Jesus, whenever a baby was born, they threw a party. The birth of a child was a joyous occasion. Whenever a baby was born, it was a time of celebration. The Jews greatly valued babies in that culture. I wish that were true today. The Bible says in Psalm 127, "Children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." So the Jews believed, and the rabbis taught, that if you're a good person, God will reward you with a child. And that is a great reason to throw a party. Just look back in Luke chapter 1. When John the Baptist was born, it says about the mother of John the Baptist in verse 58 that her neighbors and her relatives were rejoicing with her. They were celebrating. They had a party at the birth of John the Baptist. So the shepherds are out looking for a cave party. Now, who would be at this party? Well, the relatives of Joseph and Mary, of course. I know this is different than the picture you always see. You know, you watch the movies, you watch the pictures, and it's always Mary and Joseph all by themselves in a little stable, right? Mary and Joseph had relatives. Now, 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about the first passage in Luke chapter 2, I mentioned that Mary and Joseph had relatives in Nazareth. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that the Jewish community during the time of Jesus was a very family-oriented culture. And that's pretty much true today among the Jewish culture. I mentioned 2 weeks ago when we looked at the first 7 verses that no Jewish family would move to a town unless they had relatives in that town. And, of course, Mary and Joseph had relatives in that town. There were other descendants of David in Nazareth. And I'll prove it to you. At the end of chapter 2 in Luke, Luke tells us about how when Jesus was 12 years old, the family went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Do you know this story? And at the end of the Passover celebration, it says Mary and Joseph started back to Nazareth. Along the way back to Nazareth, it says that they were traveling with a caravan. Now, a caravan is a large group of people. So they're traveling with this large caravan back to Nazareth, and after traveling for a day, they realize that Jesus wasn't with them. And so it says in verse 44 of Luke chapter 2 that they began looking for Him among their relatives there in the caravan. And now they checked with all their relatives. All of the relatives that they were traveling with going back to Nazareth. They couldn't find Jesus, so you know the story. They went back to Jerusalem and they found Jesus in Jerusalem in the temple. But the point is, in the same way that Joseph and Mary traveled in a caravan of relatives to Jerusalem when Jesus was 12, they would have traveled in a caravan of relatives to Bethlehem to register for the census. I know, the movies always show Joseph and Mary traveling alone, by themselves. And when Jesus was born, all the relatives came to the barn, to the cave, to the stable, to celebrate. In that culture, there is just no way relatives wouldn't show up to celebrate. and to congratulate the parents of this newborn baby. So they found the party. Not too hard. A lot of rejoicing, perhaps music, perhaps even dancing, food, a lot of talking and laughter. And then they looked in, and there he was. There was the sign. There was a sign there that pointed to Jesus. And the sign was, he was wrapped in cloths, lying in a feeding trough. A manger. They found it just as the angel said. Now evidently, even in those days, that was something out of the norm to see a baby lying in a feeding trough. They knew they had the right place. The divine scavenger hunt was over. The shepherds were probably high-fiving it all around. They found him. Woohoo! We found the baby! We found the Savior! Look at that! That is so amazing. There he is, a baby lying in a feeding trough. Just as the angel said. The Savior has come. Just as the angel has said. And so in verse 17 it says that they made known what they knew about the child. Now what did they know? Well, they knew what the angel told them. That God told them through the angel back in the field. Back in verse 11, it's recorded that he is the Savior. Now, I doubt if they knew that Jesus would save them from their sins. They probably weren't thinking that. They probably were thinking that the Savior would save them from the oppression of Rome. But that's okay. They knew he was the Savior. Secondly, they made it known what the angel said, that he is the Messiah. The one that the prophet said would come. Their idea of the Messiah was the one who would come and rule the world. They were right about that. Jesus will come and will rule the world. Now you may be thinking, well, that hasn't happened yet. No, it hasn't happened. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus first came. When is he coming to rule the world? What's he waiting for? It's been 2,000 years. Jesus promised he would come back to rule the world. Where is he? The Bible tells us that he's waiting for more people to repent and trust him to save them from their sin and follow him as Lord. 2 Peter says this. Now, 2 Peter was written by Peter, the apostle of Jesus. Jesus spent every day with Jesus for 3 years, saw him crucified, saw him raised from the dead, saw him ascend to heaven. And here's what Peter said. The Lord is not slow about his promise. In other words, his promise to return and rule the world. But he is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The sermon that Jesus gave more than any other sermon was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And God is patient towards us, not wishing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. Jesus is waiting for people to repent. I'm glad he waited for me. But there will come a time when he will stop waiting. He will return and judge the world and destroy those who have ignored him. That will happen. That's a promise. And then he will gather his people and he will rule the world. And what a wonderful day that will be. What a wonderful ruler he is. And he is ready now to rule those who repent and trust him as Savior and Lord. And then after he saves us, he will prepare us for heaven. And he will return when he has the last of his children gathered into his kingdom. And so the shepherds knew that the Messiah would rule the world, and they were looking forward to that. We should be looking forward to that too. Then they knew that he was the Lord. And this one I think they understood. They understood that this baby would be their Lord and King. They understood that they would live under His righteous rulership. And I think they were excited about that. Anyone would be better than King Herod, right? But they knew this king would be Lord over all, a benevolent king who would rule with righteousness and justice. That was something wonderful to look forward to, and it still is. To look forward to the rule of Jesus over this world. It will happen, just as He said. That would guarantee a wonderful future for all of us. Then fourthly, they knew that this Savior was for all people. I don't think they quite understood that. They thought the Messiah was just for the Jews. But Jesus would make it clear that He came for everyone. After He was raised from the dead, He said this in Matthew 28. He said, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's our task until He comes, to make disciples of all the nations. Jesus is for everyone. The Savior is for all people. So to sum it up, the shepherds told everyone that an angel had appeared to them and told them that a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord had been born. Can you just imagine the excitement as they told everyone? "Hey, listen, everyone. We were out in the fields." And they told their story. Now look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, "And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." So that phrase, "all who heard it," implies that a lot of people heard it. It wasn't just Joseph and Mary who heard it. So who were all the people? Well, that would be all the people present at the party. All the relatives celebrating with Joseph and Mary. And again, I know that is shattering all your concepts of the birth of Jesus. All the pictures which were painted by 15th century artists who were not Bible scholars. They showed Jesus, Joseph and Mary traveling and alone and sitting alone in the stable. It just didn't happen that way. God is getting the word out. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has come. Now look at verse 19. It says, "But Mary treasured all these things in her heart." You know, it had been rough for Mary. The shame of being pregnant before getting married. The 4-day hike, or maybe 5 or 6 day hike from Nazareth. The chaos of the census. The disappointment of not getting a place in the inn. She needed some encouragement. Maybe you need some encouragement this morning. Mary was blessed to hear that an angel had appeared to these shepherds and told them the same thing that she had been told by an angel. Back in chapter 1, it's recorded by Luke that an angel appeared to Mary. And the angel told her that she would give birth to the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord who would sit on the throne of David. And there would be no end to His kingdom. So it was nice to get a little confirmation on that from the shepherds. This baby that she had just given birth to would indeed be the Messiah. She may be in a cave right now, but she's thinking, "Soon, one day, I'll be living in the Messiah palace." And indeed, that's where she is right now. God has a way of encouraging us along the way. God encouraged her that night by giving her this child and by confirming that her baby would be the Messiah. Again, I just want to point out that God encouraged her through the message from God as delivered by the angel. That was a little out of the norm. God's norm is to encourage us through the message from God delivered through the Scriptures. Let the Word of God encourage your heart every day. Many Christians are discouraged. If you're discouraged today, know that God loves you, and He loves you just as He loved Mary. Things may not have turned out the way you wanted, but God has a purpose for everything that happens in our lives. Accept your place in life right now, but follow the Lord with all your heart, as Mary and Joseph did. And the Lord will accomplish His perfect plan in and through you. And He'll encourage you along the way through His Word, the Bible. So run to Jesus, as the shepherds did. Now, lastly, look at verse 20. It says in verse 20 that the shepherds went back. They went back to work. They went back to the fields. And they went back glorifying and praising God. Now, that's the way to go to work. That's the right attitude. Glorifying and praising God. When you meet Jesus, when you've placed yourself under His lordship, when you know that you have a great future under His rule, every job becomes a place to glorify and praise God. There's something else that gave them joy. Look at the end of verse 20. It says, it happened just as God said. There's something that happens in our heart when we realize that whatever God says is going to happen will really happen. Jesus said He's coming back. That's going to happen. Or to put it in another way, there's a confidence that comes into our souls when we realize that God's Word is true. There's a surge of strength in our faith when we realize that God knows what's going on and that He keeps His promises. He will provide. He will lead. He will give you wisdom. So let's talk about some points of application about this passage. They're in the outline in the back of your bulletin. But first of all, don't stay in the dark. Get to Jesus. If you've never repented of your sins and trusted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, get out of the dark. Come to Jesus today. Don't put it off. Jesus is waiting for those to repent. Perhaps He's waiting for you. He will forgive you. He will save you. He will bring you into the family of God. And you'll begin that process where He will begin to prepare you for heaven. If you're a Christian and you're not walking with the Lord, don't stay in the dark. Get to Jesus. Receive His forgiveness. Make it your passion to know Jesus better than you know Him now. Make it your passion to learn the Word of God. And God will encourage your heart every day. Spend time reading the Scriptures every day. Go to the men's Bible study. Go to the women's Bible study. Make coming to church a consistent habit. Look for opportunities to serve Christ. Surrender to His lordship. He'll lead you and guide you and help you become the person that He created you to be. And then secondly, don't let anything slow you down getting to Jesus. Move anything out of your life that's not helping you draw closer to God. Don't let other people slow you down. Don't let other things distract you from getting to Jesus. And then thirdly, make known to others what you know about Jesus. Most people are living in the dark. We still live in a dark world. And then get back to work with an attitude of praise and thankfulness. Glorify God in all that you do. Apply the Word of God to everything you do and your situation. Place your work under the Lordship of Christ and let Him lead you in your work and ministry and life. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your servant Luke, who recorded the events of the birth of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the example of the shepherds. And Lord, we pray that we would take to heart the things we've heard today, that we would run to you even today. And I want to mention, if you're here or if you're watching or listening online and you've never repented of your sin, maybe you've known about Christ, maybe you think you're a good person, but none of us are going to get to heaven because we're good. We're only going to get to heaven if we repent of our sin and trust Jesus and Jesus only to save us. So right where you are, in the quietness of your heart, just say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I know I'm not good enough to go to heaven. I know I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin, and I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross to pay the penalty for all of my sins. And now I'm going to live for you. I'm not going to live for myself any longer. I'm going to live for you and serve those around me. And Lord, for those of us who've known you for a long time, we pray that you would do a new work in our heart, that we would make it our passion and our desire to seek you and to trust you, to spend time with you, and to know you better than we know you now. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.